following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey, this is Neil Harbison from the Cyborg Foundation, and I'm listening to the Nerdy Show, and I'm also listening to the colors in front of me.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. I'm your host, Cap, and this is a Microsode 2-pack. Microsodes are where you, devoted listeners of Nerdy Show, support the network with your hard-earned cash and subsequently unlock the ability to decide what we talk about for 15 minutes. For this Microsode 2-pack, we're taking on two science and technology-related topics. Fans have asked us to talk about cybernetics and also pose the question, the internet. How does it work? For our first topic, I'm joined by
Brandon,
John from Nerdy Show,
and Jessica from Nerdy Show.
All right, so back before he was a community manager here at Nerdy Show, Trench 88, he wanted us to talk about cybernetics. So I turn, of course, to John and Jessica, our SciTech correspondents, and Brandon for comedic relief.
I'm just here to say random crap that no one really cares about. Yeah, I don't know anything about cybernetics. I've seen Ghost in the Shell. That should be enough.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. 90% of my knowledge.
In 1948, former child prodigy, mathematician, and philosopher Norbert Wiener, that is his actual name, defined cybernetics as the scientific study of control and communication in the animal and the machine.
This is right after World War II, right?
Yeah, Norbert okay. Wiener.
Norbert
Which,
Wiener.
Of course, had a lot to do with cybernetics, since the majority of the problems and the realizations about it came about when they were trying to develop anti-aircraft tracking software, for lack of a better word, although it was not probably using anything close to that.
Well, and don't forget the cybernetic suit that Hitler wore with those two chain guns and everything, and the Frankenstein with the gun in his stomach and all that, the cybernetic shit that hooked up to him.
Yeah. Oh, and that clockwork ninja from Hellboy.
Yeah, that all happened during World War II, so obviously cybernetics was a result of World War II.
Yeah. They didn't have a name for it, but they sure used a lot of it back then.
Aren't you glad I'm here on this segment?
Yes,
here to
very
fuck
glad.
Things up for you guys.
Yep, thank you. So, John and Jessica, I get a lot of correspondences from you guys about new cutting-edge signs of the cybernetic sci-fi future that has long been foretold, and it's all on the way, isn't it? It's all happening.
Well, there's Osimo, who's a robot who can walk down stairs by himself, so we're definitely getting started.
If my legs are cut off, I can walk downstairs with these robot legs, so I suppose it's that. Yeah.
I don't think they can transplant the legs from Osimo onto you. It's his legs.
Well, maybe he learns how to walk with them, and then I steal his legs.
Osimo has been around for like years now. Can he hold a gun yet and shoot it?
That really wouldn't be hard.
I was going to say there's no threat from robots, but just...
Drones.
Yeah. They're not really holding a gun. They're kind of just strapped on with a bunch of duct tape.
And launching full tactical missiles.
Most importantly, cybernetics is when machine parts are working in tandem with human parts.
No.
Fuck you. No.
Well, it's also a transdisciplinary approach that actually pertains to sociological studies as well. Is that what you're saying?
Nope.
I mean, yes. But it is that. It is more that than first thing.
It's more the second thing than the first thing.
It's pretty much about any system that has feedback loops in it, literally, including biology, mechanics, and just literally anything you could think of that actually has a feedback loop system. Very unromantic.
Okay.
But that's probably not fun to talk about. So now that we've got that out of the way, we can...
Application.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are they being used for right now? All of cybernetics. What's it being used for?
Merging man and machine, human-computer interfaces. Basically, anytime you need to understand one of those systems, to then abuse, hack, and manipulate it into your, slave.
Because I've seen a lot of things recently where medical devices are, I don't know if it's cybernetic, but it's certainly borderline
cybernetic.
Technically,
if you have an artificial heart or even a pacemaker.
Well, not even that. The doctors, when they're using mechanical arms and things in order to cut people open now and go in and do exploratory surgery. I don't know if that counts as cybernetics.
It's like a robotic extension.
So it's not really cybernetic.
I suppose it's like cybernetics.
Nope.
Failed.
Nope.
Okay, if I have a pacemaker, am I cyborg?
Cyborg, not cybernetic.
Oh, God damn it. What's the difference?
So well, that's what we're here to find out.
Was like reading information about your body and actually adjusting itself to it, then there might be a control feedback structure, and then it would be technically cybernetic.
I mean, can't iPhones do that?
Well, yeah, ironically enough, I guess you could theoretically have some sort of bizarre cybernetic iPhone. Although, once again, it's like, what is that even?
Well, it's you carve out a little hole in your chest to make a docking port.
Literally, if you have a docking port.
And then done. you thread a headphone jack through your arm and then, I don't know, stick it in your ear.
Done.
Cyborg.
I think we're really more breaching the cyberpunk discussion.
We went back to cyborgs, not cybernetics.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. Cybernetics, right. I don't know if when Trench asked us, you know, talk about cybernetics, did he mean talk about the entire field of cybernetics, or did he mean talk about how cool it is when you stick a robot part on a person or an animal?
I think he meant go on rants about nonsensical things like
you
we've
can
been
ask
doing.
Him, right?
I think it's funnier when we just, you know he's nearby and then impose.
He's watching it. He can't do anything about this train wreck. He's in the next room going, jeez.
He's in a privileged position now where he's now our community manager and not just a fan, but a high functioning fan within the Nerdy Show structure.
Industrial
but now
machine.
He's just as helpless as he was when he requested this.
All right, Jessica, how do you feel about cybernetics? Go.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, how do you feel about them?
Well, actually, to be honest, I think it's fascinating in terms of science and just the studying and the thought of how humans and machines can communicate and interact with one another. So when thinking about the whole IBM Watson thing, which is also cool that they're open sourcing other random piece of knowledge. But I would say it makes me feel hopeful and excited for the future.
Do you think that the Matrix movies are about cybernetics?
Sort of, actually, I guess.
I guess the question is human interaction with artificial intelligence cybernetics?
Well, artificial intelligence, I guess, could technically fall under cybernetics. And John, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, no, that's completely right.
Oh,
will. That's the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
All about feedback loops. And of course, any good neural network has tons and tons of feedback loops as well as neuronal structure. Of course, it's kind of weird because sometimes you're trying to simulate like a huge number of neurons with one node. But the point of it is really, it's all about feedback loops. It's all about taking information in and predicting the future based on that. It's really, predictions a huge part of cortical function and basically what we think of as humanity and human versus, you know, barbaric insects or something.
All right, John, you know about the new tiny micro transactions that are being done on the stock market with these really intelligent supercomputers that are predicting
yes.
the future? Does that fall under cybernetics?
Yeah, actually, those
awesome.
Could definitely
I got one right.
But it all depends on how they decided to solve the problem. I actually wanted to go to school for cybernetics and then found out that it doesn't really exist, kind of.
That's weird. It's, why after it was invented by Mr. Wiener in 1948?
Sounds like a fake name, to be honest.
I actually read a book on cybernetics and artificial intelligence or something. What they actually said was that after World War II, and they had this crazy idea, this epiphany when they were working with these anti-aircraft guns that were basically supposed to predict the future location of an aircraft to blow it out of the sky. But when they started like reducing friction and that kind of stuff, they wound up actually having the damn thing jitter all to hell. They realized that part of the control structure was actually causing diseases in this machine. And then it was like, is there a medical equivalent? Well, yeah, you know, these certain kinds of neurological damage. You could try to pick up a glass of water and then your hand would start shaking uncontrollably and result in everything on the ground.
Have they tried hitting the machines with hammers?
Yes, of course. Man. That's the first thing you try when you suspect a mechanical failure.
I mean, that's what I do with humans.
You just fawns it.
They also find a port and they try to blow on it like the old Nintendo cart.
This gun isn't acting right.
Then they reach for the Q-tips.
Imagine, if you will, an intimate, borderline sexual intercourse between human and an artificial being where you blow on their port slot.
You know, if anyone's going to invent that or has invented it, it's Japan.
It's like that deleted scene from Tron.
Deleted scene from Tron?
Yeah, there's a deleted sex scene from Tron.
Wait, the original or the new?
The original one.
What?
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges?
No, actually. Aww. It's Boxleitner.
Oh, Tron.
We're basically talking about Chobits now where the on button is like their clit.
What?
Because that's a thing.
Yep, we've devolved into clit buttons.
Is that a thing?
That is pretty much a thing, although now I'm not 100% sure if it actually is the clit or basically having to jam your hands somewhere up in there.
Our tech is shaking his head yes,
again,
giving us the thumbs up.
Wait, what are you?
Yeah, and there's some hand signs. It looks pretty vaginal.
Oh,
It's the G-spot?
So, yeah, okay. Chobits, guys, I don't know anything about it, but apparently there's something to it.
Once again, Japan. Yeah. Once again, Japan.
Well, since we've got anime experts on the network, let's go to Jonathan and Andrew from Wicked Anime for a brief explanation of the Chobits clit button situation.
She does have a button inside of her woman parts, and it's so that whenever it's pressed, her memories get reset and erased. And it's a subliminal or kind of a symbolic message as to saying that there can be love without sex. That's what the whole show is about.
So there you have it. For more Wicked Awesome Anime talk, head to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. Now back to cybernetics. John, you said there weren't any classes on cybernetics. What would someone who wanted to get into cybernetics actually start looking for?
You would search for computational and systems biology, which is the closest kind of a thing to a cybernetics program for undergraduates.
Do you have a book you'd recommend?
Nope.
He would recommend the internet and Google.
Okay.
That seems appropriate. This.
Google search cybernetics.
I would not recommend Wikipedia, though, because that page is confusing as shit.
But that's where I found out about Mr. Wiener.
I've also added a ton of false entries, so that's probably one of mine.
Fun fact, the Wiener equation is named after him, which is, of course, the mathematical representation of Brownian motion. I'm not even making this up.
What? Is that a real thing?
It is real.
Hey, girl, you want to study my Wiener equation and we can check out Brownian motion? I don't even know what that means.
It assumes the current velocity of a fluid particle fluctuates randomly.
What the fuck does that have to do with brownies? Are you like brownie? Like, how is it spelled?
Spelled brown and then Ian.
Brownie.
Brownian.
Oh, Brownian. Oh, yeah. I think you said brownie. Brownian movement. I'm like, well, it goes through my bowels. I'm having a brownie movement.
That's the joke. Yeah, we spelled it out now. Yeah,
thanks. Oh, I get it, guys.
So cybernetics. Okay, so it's anything that's a feedback loop. It's an interface between machine and living creature. And I suppose it's a term that is so broad. It's, as we develop things, I don't know, somewhat pointless. Does that make sense? Like, because everything will be interfacing at that point with nano machines and everything in the future, that talking about cybernetics as a whole, you would more address a cyborg or whatever terminology we invent.
Don't forget that living creatures are technically considered, I want to say, biological machines. So I'm not really sure what the line between that and non-biological
machines. Well, yeah, once you start talking about synthetic rights.
There is computational and systems biology, because it's specifically the study of feedback loops in biology. And sort of more generally, it's really annoying, but that's the whole point, really, is that it's kind of a bit of a mess, because it's kind of like thermodynamics. It has to do with everything. You know, you can take thermodynamics and go off on a tangent on evolutionary theory and why that works with the second law.
I couldn't go off on a tangent. I'm sure you could. I assure you I could not.
I don't know that we're going to get to a definition here, because I'm on the American Society of Cybernetics website, and they have an entire foundation who is trying to define what cybernetics is. And they just have a collection of great definitions that they think might represent cybernetics.
Why don't we make a Nerdy Show definition right here and now, set a precedent, make our own definition for cybernetics.
Robots.
Done.
I don't...
That's not a good definition at all.
That's pretty terrible. That's, anyway,
it actually is almost perfect, because it implies that the machine responds to its surrounding and changes its behavior accordingly.
All right, done.
Which is ultimately the large definition there of using these systems to change future behavior.
The official Nerdy Show definition of cybernetics.
There
robots.
You have it. We'll also link to that website that Jess just mentioned. And that is what we've got to say about cybernetics. Thank you, Trench88, for your continued support.
I hope you regret it.
Be sure to check out this episode's page for links to all the stuff we've been talking about. Moving on to our next topic, John and Jess are sticking around, and Brandon is saying adios. But we're also joined by...
Doug from Ghostbusters and Nerdy Show.
Boar from Derpy Show.
And we're going to talk about the internet. How does it work? This topic is brought to you by Viral Demon. So, I mean, obviously there's the series of tubes response that's
the standard response at this point.
Yeah.
Just to explain everything in terms of plumbing.
Or there's also the giant Linksys router, as South Park taught us.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Or just the box the with a button on it, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, from the IT crowd.
My favorite. My personal favorite.
The internet
whole internet
is wireless
is
gym.
In there.
As if the internet weighs anything.
Has anybody calculated the weight of the internet?
Oh, God.
Well, how would you calculate
that? It's got to be all the infrastructure that it takes for it to work, including the servers.
But is that truly the internet, or is that just the energy it takes to run it? Whereas if you were to, say, print everything on the internet onto paper, should that be the weight of the internet, or
how would you print a video of a dog?
Frame by frame, man, or disassemble it into binary.
But what do you do with the audio then? Like, I mean, how do you...
Put it in binary. Everything into binary and print it out.
One time, back around, say, the Windows 98 period, I remember a photo Bill Gates took of him suspended up a very, very tall tree with a stack of paper, which represented the entirety of the code from Windows. And that was just one bullshit program that's quite old now. I think we're fucked.
That was like four floppy disks.
If for some reason a demon taxes us with the chore of cataloging the internet in binary, you can kiss the surface of the earth goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it would stack all the way to the moon a few times.
Yeah.
And there'd be no more trees. Like halfway through the project, at least.
Think of the trees.
But it is a little ironic that I am on the internet right now. I honestly do not know how it works. Can someone explain? Does anyone here know?
You don't know how the internet works? In what facet? Like, I can explain pretty much anything you want as long as you can tell me what part of it you don't get.
Okay, like, I know I put my computer on. I open up the web browser. Yep. It allows me to access other computers.
Let's start with the basics. Like, what happens when you type in google.com, for example? Is that something that you don't know what happens?
If I go to Google's website, and I say search for Nerdy Show, it then pulls up the results.
That's a little bit more complicated of a question than just retrieving like a basic web page, which is sort of hard enough to explain as it is.
Oh, you mean like the top results?
If you start trying to explain search engines, that adds a level of complexity to it, because then you have to explain how Google works. Let's start with the basics of how you pull up a web page.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens when you type in google.com? As soon as you hit enter, what happens is your computer has to ask, what is google.com? Where is that? So it sends your request to what's called a DNS server. And your computer basically asks, hey, where's google.com at? And then the DNS server replies to you and says, it's at this IP address, like 8.8.8.8. That's actually a DNS address, but
.8.
Isn't that one of Google's DNS servers?
It's a Google DNS server. So first, ask... I can't do it with cap here. Okay, so then once your computer has the IP address of google.com, your computer then sends a request to that IP address and says, hey, what do you got? And then Google's like, all right, here's everything that I have set up at google.com. So then it throws you the code for what renders that screen.
Into your browser.
Right, into your browser. So that's sort of a really watered down basic version of it. But, you know, in the meantime, your request is going through, first it starts at your computer and then it goes to your home router and then jumps through a series of routers. A lot of tubes.
The way I always understood it, so to keep my own sanity, was it's computers talking to other computers saying, what you got for me? Show me what you got.
Well, the thing is, between your computer and that DNS server or google.com that I mentioned, there's probably about 80 different hops.
Infrastructure. Right.
Yeah, so each time that your request goes from one hop to the next, it has to ask that router, hey, how do I get to 8.8.8.8.8 so I can ask Google, like, where Google is. And then, you know, it has to do that negotiation every single time, basically, which is fun. There's a lot that happens when you type in something on the internet.
Should we break down like how the IP addresses actually work?
You could do a whole class on that.
Yeah, I mean, we want this episode to be, I mean, it's already been informative, but we also want it to be fun.
Let me put it this way. Will it ever get easier to understand?
No, it's
increasing in complexity all the time.
It sounds like it's.
I just
it's
explained
a web.
How it worked in
it's
1997.
Well, what about Web 2.0?
When someone calls it
what does it
the
even
web,
mean?
I don't think they truly understand how much of a web it actually is. I mean, if you look at the map of simply the action of retrieving Google from your computer, and you see the map, and the dotted line goes up from one end and over to the other, all across coasts and so on. And then you watch all the other networks and servers. It turns into a web so dense and so thick, it's impenetrable. You know, like the entire planet is surrounded internally and externally with these
communications. And metaphorically.
Yeah, it's entrenched. It's only going to get more dense and more dense to the point of, like, I've read science fiction stories where there's been the old web buried beneath the surface of what the modern equivalent of the web is and all the different corners you could go to. Like, you can still go to corners of the internet that are inaccessible to the normal person that would
be. Are you talking about old protocols like Gopher and Waze and, you know, stuff like that?
Things like that. Things that I'm hardly even qualified to talk about.
Yeah.
Like the deep web?
Sure.
Like Silk Road?
The deep web.
unless we get blanked out by a solar flare, we've got a system on our hands that's beautiful in how wildly it spins out of control. It's a cocoon of information that we've woven. And there's no bugs in it. I mean, there's e-worms, but they're not gross like spiders.
All right, what's another thing that we can explain? Do we want to talk about like routers and how they work?
Wait, are we talking about like routers or...
Yeah, or internet hiccup. Like, what just happened there?
You just kind of totally
why
cut
is
out.
The internet so shitty?
Well, that's a complex question, Doug. it all goes back to AOL.
Not Netscape or...
No, it's AOL's fault, all of it.
Is it? I mean, is the real question, is it?
No.
Okay.
Nowadays, you could actually probably blame the state of the internet on, like, telephone companies.
That's true.
If I had enough money, could I get a Wi-Fi signal that could never crap out on me?
Like, are you talking about just weather? Being able to wander around your house successfully?
Yeah, and it would just never crap out.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Like, ever?
Except, you know, if you were in a Faraday cage or any other electrical interference, including microwaves.
That's what I mean. Something that will withstand any other problem. Like,
yeah, if you got a few $1,000s coming into your house, I can set that up. That's no problem.
In addition to that, we could also theoretically look to quantum connections, perhaps.
What's a quantum connection?
Oh, no, that's the point. There isn't one.
Isn't that what they talked about in Mass Effect? That's how they communicated on Normandy?
Yeah, it was quantum entanglement.
Yeah.
Like,
and they had to do point to point, which is kind of funny because then they had to like, I really love in Mass Effect how thoroughly they developed out their completely unbelievable technologies. they actually have arrays where all the quantum communicators are so that they can then communicate non-quantumly between them.
Why would you want to communicate non-quantumly? Quantum sounds so fast.
Because quantum is only point to point, and so as a result, you could never talk to anyone else.
It would be like a tin can.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was going to explain it.
It's like I could only ever talk to whoever's on the other end of that thing. How about this question? So, internet, Wi-Fi, whatever, dial-up, we've seen it all. Okay. What about this thing, Google Fiber? Is this going to be different?
Never even heard of this shit.
Google Fiber is, I mean, it's just going to be a fatter pipe to your house, basically.
It's just a fatter tube.
It's just a fatter tube feeding you the internet juice.
Via light.
I mean, that's really, you know, the best way to dumb it down.
Okay, no, that paints a picture.
And that only covers, you know, like the last, I think they call it like the last mile of the connection. So it'd only be you to your ISP. And then beyond that, it's all up to how good of a connection that you get to that other point, which I guess is an interesting thing to talk about. You can have the best internet connection that your ISP offers, like, you know, 100 megabit up and down. But why can't I watch this YouTube video? You know, that happens all the time because I used to do internet tech support and I used to get that question all the time. Like, why can't I watch this YouTube video? My internet's crappy. And I'd be like, well, can you get to other things? Okay. And then, yeah, I can get to other things just fine. But
sorry, I call YouTube.
Yeah. Call up YouTube. Actually, that's not a bad thing to do. Although the problem probably lies somewhere else in the web. You know, it's just one of those points in between you and them can be down or not functioning optimally.
Well, it's the weakest chain, really, right? Like,
exactly.
The slowest
That's exactly
path is
what
the
it
fastest
is.
Speed that you have.
Exactly.
So what's the future internet going to be like? Like 20 years from now, is it basically going to be the same thing except with even fatter tubes?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we're doing right now, it seems like, is just we're replacing all of the old infrastructure or getting rid of as much of the copper as we can and switching it over to fiber optics and more of the cable internet, because cable's pretty fast. But I hope everything starts going towards fiber optics.
I think what's going to happen is that the veil of bullshit and propaganda that Rob's been fed and is now regurgitating to us will be lifted and will be revealed. That, of course, it's been magic all along. We've simply been tapping into the ley lines, the communication networks of the ancient druids.
You know, actually, not too long ago, I saw this, it was like a Kickstarter campaign or something. They were trying to raise money to get an internet connection that didn't rely on conventional means. Like, it was completely out in space. They were trying to say that, oh, this will be free internet for everybody in like foreign countries. But the only problem with that is communication between us and space is kind of crappy. So what
it is,
this whole project was, and everybody was like rallying behind it, like, oh yeah, we got to get free internet to the whole world and, you know, out to the third world countries and whatnot. But all it was is, you know, just a satellite that sits up there and just beams down Wikipedia every 2 hours or something like that. It was basically just a one directional,
like just a large external hard drive, basically.
Here's what they didn't
that
have.
Would just slowly beam down stuff, and that you would have a, you know, like a tablet or something that would just load it.
They didn't have occasionally a large enough amplification crystal. And no one was praying to it.
All right. Well, thanks for derailing the conversation.
They forgot the part
Cap.
About the child sacrifice. They forgot that part.
That's not necessary. That's old school, man. That's the old net that was pulled up and uprooted.
That's the old magic, not the new magic.
Right. It's all about mining materials. We can mine the proper crystals now. We can buff them into the proper sheen.
I've got a really serious question here. Why am I the one from Derpy Show and you're the one from Nerdy Show?
Is it not opposite day?
It seems like it.
Well, it is.
I'm going to find a way to work dicks in here somehow.
That's what she said.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of dicks on the internet, so.
That's true. How does the dick get from me to all of the people on Chat Roulette?
Can you imagine holographic Chat Roulette and all the 3D peens that'll be popping up?
Didn't they do that in Logan's Run? That's exactly what that was, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Holographic does, yeah.
I really hope stuff like the Oculus Rift takes off. That could be big for...
Oh, then you can explore the web like Michael Douglas in Disclosure.
I mean, it could be a boon for, you know, internet pornography could be much more immersive, as well as video games and you know, websites, I guess.
Yeah, John, Jess, and I actually discussed that in an episode of Nerdy Show earlier this year, and we'll link to it on this episode's page. John, you had a lot to say on the matter.
It was pretty impressive. This random scantily clad woman slinked up towards me. I think I was viewing it on my phone so I could actually cross my eyes and get 3D. It was pretty terrifying.
Imagine,
but it's a thing already.
Imagine this scenario. You put on your groinal attachment.
Oh, he's going into teledildonics. It's one of my favorite topics. We could have a whole microsode on that.
You put on your Oculus and then like the program, you just press the button and you wake up and something's having sex. You open your eyes like, oh man, it's a surprise every time. You don't know what's going to be happening.
Tentacle rape
monster.
That's
the future
again.
Of Chat
Roulette. It's like Harry Potter, any so flavor beans, right?
Digital rape.
Except for porn.
It's rape roulette.
You don't know if you're doing something to whom. You don't know if someone's doing something to you. You just wake up and
let's roll the dice.
Yeah, you see what's happening. That's the future of the internet. That's how it works. Money in the bank. Cha-ching.
Wake up and an old man's giving you a foot job. It's great.
My feet are nice and wrinkly.
Clevenger had actually posted a thing on the inner Twitters about a group that's actually come up with this loony kind of idea where it sounded like a sort of distributed server network for the future virtual reality internet, where each server would sort of hold kind of like a part of the graphical engine that was running all the rest of it. And they apparently stress tested up to, I don't know, like 10 million visitors simultaneously.
Oh, like cluster computing, basically.
Well, it's like cluster computing, but with the emphasis towards a actual 3D crazy future web.
Like on Futurama or something? Like how that's how they...
Sort of. Now, my problem with all that stuff is, you know, we have Second Life, right? Well, that's an entire 3D world, whatever the hell. And so then you wind up with how many different 3D worlds are there going to be? It's almost like because we want them, we're going to sort of fuck around until we wind up with basically Facebook conglomerate walking in, you know, and being like, well, this is the real 3D internet as opposed to the other spinoffs.
I got a final question we can end on.
Okay.
Will quantum computing make the internet easier or quicker? Will that change in any way, or will that only help the computing power?
It'll help the computing power, which will help the speed, I think is the correct answer.
I wonder if you could actually use it to do like insane levels of compression on data.
Yeah, perhaps, but...
I mean, that's the real problem. Quantum computing immediately, it's like it is almost impossible to talk about within the reference of normal computing because of how wacky it is.
Yeah, because the way I had it explained to me was regular computing is binary, 0, 1. That's it. It's either one or the other. Quantum computing is because there's particles that are here and also not here. Yeah. You have 0, 1 or definites. Then you have something that's not 0 and not a 1 at the same time. So it's like a third thing.
Yeah, it's really difficult to wrap your mind around, especially in this episode.
That's why I figured it'd be perfect to talk about with Nerdy Show people.
You basically write in a sort of problem into a quantum computer, and then it kind of collapses simultaneously into the answer.
And so does this episode.
There you go.
So we're going to end with foot jobs, right?
Foot jobs from Galdap.
Thank you so much, Viral Demon. I've spent my dream to give a foot job through the virtual internet. My toes are wrinkly from the bath and from the old age and the jaundice. Goodbye.
Mind the corns.
That's enough from Galdap. And say goodbye to John and Jess. But Doug and Boar are still here.
In it to win it.
Oh, yeah. All night long, baby.
And we should mention the Derpy Show, which Boris, host of, is back in action.
Were we ever really gone?
Well, not from our hearts, but yeah, you were off the air for a while.
on and off.
But if you go to derpyshow.com or nerdyshow.com/derpyshow, you can check out the latest podcasts and videos from those guys, and they're coming back on a regular schedule and with awesome new videos on an intermittent schedule, but keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, we've been really pounding down that Metamucil, and we are much more regular now.
In other Nerdy Show-affiliated news, Wicked Anime are launching some events. They just recently concluded their first Monster Hunter Weekend, which is a monthly thing they're doing where they're getting together with fans and playing Monster Hunter 4. We'll link to where you can find out how to get in on that next time it comes around on this episode's page. And also, if you're in Orlando, the Wicked Anime Boys of Boston are coming here to A Comic Shop's Geekeasy to put on their live hardcore anime panel. This is something that's been huge at Anime Boston and other conventions. In fact, at the most recent Anime Boston, it was so overfilled they had to have crowds dispersed outside because they wanted in so bad and were chanting, apparently. So that's happening Saturday, June 27th, in Orlando at A Comic Shop and the Geekeasy, and they've converted their panel into a drinking game. So if you're 21 and up, you can get an even more hardcore anime experience. Next week on Nerdy Show, be sure to stay tuned because we have another listener-requested topic, and this is one of those episodes that's gotten a bit out of hand. I was joined by Chan from Derpy Show, as well as Brandon, and we went out to Tampa to talk with Brian Knobs of the Nasty Boys about professional wrestling. Then we wrestled him. It's not just going to be a podcast coming next Monday, but it's also going to be video content, including a video version of the podcast, as well as footage of these mysterious strangers, the Pink Mage and the Terror Bird, newcomers who challenged Brian Knobs in the ring.
I've got a question. Was there any Knobs touching?
Yeah, of a sort, yes. Yes, we were unfortunately uninformed about the trademark move of the Nasty Boys, which I won't spoil for you, but had we known, we may have reconsidered this whole thing.
Was it a prostate tickling?
Only slightly less invasive.
Was there like an old school challenge before the fight where you grab the mic and you shout into the camera about what you're going to see them later and you're going to take the title from them and all that fun stuff?
Oh yeah, there were some promos. There were some promo spots.
Nice.
It's the whole nine yards, and it's actually part of a ongoing partnership we've just started with a up-and-coming network on YouTube, the Nerd Nation Network. So you're going to be seeing more video content from Nerdy Show coming out through them. If you're not informed, we gotta let you guys know there's an app for Nerdy FM, our 24/7 nerd music radio station, nerdy.fm. Maybe you've been listening to it for the past couple years. You've been enjoying our curated selection of all the best nerd music in all the respective genres. Well, now we have an app for Apple and Android, so you can listen to Nerdy FM anywhere conveniently, and it actually has more features than the website does. We'll have a link to where you can check it out on this episode's page. And we had some recent article content. I feel it should be mentioned in case you guys haven't seen it on nerdyshow.com. We were so excited by the announcement that Nintendo was partnering with Universal Studios for a theme park. We're not sure where yet. We put out a comprehensive article containing a little bit of informed speculation as to how it might be going down and where this park might be happening, as well as our pitches to Universal Studios should they need some help as to what kind of rides we think they should be making themed off of Nintendo properties. And also, Jess recently put out a travel article about her visit to Hobbiton in New Zealand. So you can check both of those out on nerdyshow.com, and we'll have links in this episode's page. But if you, dear listener, or someone you know, is an author and would like to contribute to Nerdy Show, we want to team up with you. We've launched an open call for contributors to the Nerdy Show Network for writing. You can get all the information and fill out the application form at nerdyshow.com/contributors.
Or else.
Yeah. But seriously, you should totally do it. If you got writing skills, we would love to hear from you. Now, something that I don't think, as a result of our recent Lightning Dogs episodes, we had a chance to talk about, we hit our most recent milestone on Patreon.
And it's a delicious one.
Oh, yes.
It's a big one.
You guys generously contributed $700 a month, and that hit the Pizza Party milestone. That's a cute and yes, indeed, delicious name for what is a momentous occasion, because for the first time ever, we're able to give back to all the shows who contribute on the network. Derpy Show, Ghostbusters Resurrection, and all the other shows that we put out all get a very modest monthly payment, so they can put that towards purchasing new equipment for their shows, or even just buying some food.
Yeah, it's enough to feed at least half a dozen boars or one Robo Joe.
You guys brought us to a level we've never been able to be at before. It is a truly momentous occasion for the Nerdy Show Network, and it's all thanks to you, because we're listener-supported, which leads us to two other things. One, we hit this amazing milestone because of one incredible contributor who was a producer and then gave us additionally so much money, we had to create a new support tier on Patreon just for him. Kaolis is now an executive producer of Nerdy Show. We're extremely grateful. Please welcome our new overlord, Kaolis, who's providing the network with the ability to feed the poor, starving, hungry derps of Derpy Show. And
I was going to ask, is he our boss? But you said overlord, so I think that answers that question.
Well,
yeah, I think that means he owns our souls now.
Something to that degree. We're definitely in his debt, well, along with everybody else who's supporting us on Patreon. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to subject us to any of your whims in the form of a Nerdy Show microsode, we will talk about what you want us to talk about. And as we're a listener-supported network, the way you do that is by backing us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow. There's a number of tiers, and many of those tiers relate to how many opportunities you get in our monthly drawing to win yourself a microsode. So head to patreon.com/nerdyshow and join in on the fun, having us talk about whatever you want us to talk about. Of course, Patreon isn't the only way to support. If you can't afford a monthly fee and you shop on Amazon, don't forget, nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Just follow the links, click through, and anything you add to your cart from that point on, we'll give a little bit back to Nerdy Show. No extra money from you, and Amazon pays us, actually, which is incredible. So please take advantage of that if you shop on Amazon. Before we go, we got some additional shout-outs, both pertaining to Amazon, I might add. One is a forum message from Cerebral Paladin, who says, I started listening just before you started Dungeons and Doritos. So that's going way back.
That's a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's fall of 2009. Been a long time fan and love the network. I'm especially a fan of D&D, Derpy Show, Epic Podcast, and of course, State of the Empire.
This guy has really great taste. I just want to point that out.
I know, right? He said, I don't buy on Amazon often, but when I do, I make sure it's through your link. Today, I just bought my newest badass gaming rig, and I did it through Amazon to show you some love. Keep doing what you guys do best, and hopefully, this will keep the lights on.
It definitely will, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cerebral Paladin. That is amazing. Our dearly beloved Temsu also wrote in. He said, Hi there, Nerdy Show. Got to do some fun shopping on Amazon after linking from you, and thought I'd share my activity. First, I have one or two good books to read on my summer vacation. Reign of the Ghosts, Volume 1 and 2? Check. Some doohickey I have to buy if I want to put a hard drive on my replacement PS3 Go? Check, check. Also, finally got to expose some of my friends to the podcast. You might like this. I got to drive them to the Avengers last week, and I put on Food Crawl. It was a hit. The surprise for me? The wife's very positive reaction to the vagina dentata cake. I knew it made an impact after they mentioned having their own food baby after dinner. And one more segue, #baconmemories. I get to go to the Loveless Cafe this weekend. That's a pretty intense fooderific message. If you're unfamiliar, Food Crawl is an episode we released recently where myself and Colin and Brandon and Denica all went on a 13, 14 restaurant, I can't remember how many at this point, it's all days, food binge where we ate at all these restaurants in one trip in one night and recorded the whole thing. It was a crazy adventure. And the other thing is a Loveless Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee was one of the places we stopped at when we did our listener requested bacon episode that culminated in our video production of Nerdy Mealtime, where we joined up with the Proto Men to create a Supreme Pizza Star Destroyer and a Rebel Tockade Runner. And then we also did a podcast segment where we went to Loveless Cafe where they make their own bacon and talked to them about that process. So that's awesome, Temsu. Thank you so much. Thank you again to Cerebral Paladin. Thank you to our new executive producer, Kaolis. And thank you for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. Taking us out, here's a track by the Double Clicks. It's from their 2012 record, Chainmail and Cello. This is the Internet National Anthem. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Doug.
And bye, I am Stillborn. But not stillborn. Or still.
When we were but scared nerds adrift on the blue, we spotted this land and we instantly knew the wildest of chances, the grandest of views are here in this land made for me and for you. The Internet, the Internet, the the place where we find others of our own kind. The internet, the internet, where networks and servers bring us intertwined. Some more vicarious, but all are welcome here. Our justice is just and the culture robust. It can sometimes disgust, but at least we are free. On the internet, the internet, we give to our country our love and our pride. The internet, the internet, we don't need approval of those from outside. In every endeavor, we'll be here forever, no matter whatever the other world thinks of the internet. The internet. You can come to work or better to play.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to Nerdy Show via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we got it covered.